I'd like to turn, please, to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. So as there are only three verses, let's read those verses together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'd like to preach to you this morning from these verses on Jesus' invitation to rest. Jesus' invitation to rest. The oldest recording of a human voice was captured in 1860 by a French inventor called Edouard Léon Scott de Martinville. Appreciate my pronunciation. There you go. That's the height of it. And he didn't actually record someone speaking. He recorded someone singing. He recorded the song Au Clair de la Lune on April 9th, 1860. He didn't plan to play it back. It was actually recorded in suit. So there was no way for it to be replayed. It was recorded, but there was no way of hearing it until 2008, historians scanned the suit recording and used modern computer technology to convert the suit recording back into sound. And when you think of it, there are some very significant speeches that have been recorded through time since that first recording in 1860. There is Churchill's famous speech to Parliament on June the 4th, 1940, the one where he says, "We'll fight them on the beaches. We'll never surrender." Or, I didn't know about this, but Mandela made a speech against apartheid when he was being tried and then put in prison. In 1964, he gave a speech in his defense saying that he would rather die. And then he was put in prison for 27 years because of his conviction. Or the famous words of Neil Armstrong on July 21st, 1969, when he became the first person to set foot on the moon, one small step. But none of these compare in importance to the record of the words that came from the incarnate Son of God's lips that are recorded for us in these three verses. And that's what I'd like us to give our attention to this morning. When Jesus says, "Come unto me." And I'd like us to notice, first of all, that when he speaks, he says, "Come to him." He doesn't say, "Go to another." He calls people to himself, not to an ordinance, not to an organization, not to a set of teachings, but to him as a person. Jesus did die for your sins and for mine. I am the sinner, and you are the sinner that Jesus came to save. But he didn't stay dead. He's risen. He's not finished with this world or with you. And for now, the scripture says that heaven must receive him until the restitution of all things. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus is risen and returning, And either you know him as your personal savior or you will know him as your personal judge. And it's him who says, come to me. What comforting words when you're wearied. The voice that welcomes you to come for help, for strength to continue. Paul talks about the pressures that were on him in his ministry in Asia in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. See if you recognize or can identify with these things. He says that he was pressed out of measure. So there the idea is when you would take a balloon in your hands and you would squeeze it. That's how he felt, that he was under such pressure. And then he says that it was above strength. It was more than he could handle. And that he despaired even of life, that they had the sentence of death in them. That's very similar to Daniel chapter 3, when in that chapter, the three Hebrews are cast into the fiery furnace and Nebuchadnezzar has the fire heated seven times more hot. And there was someone else with them in the furnace. And Paul says in that pressured time and in that time when it was above his strength to handle and he despaired even of life and had the sentence of death in him, that the excellency of the power is not of God, is not of us, but of God. What a welcome voice that says to you, come to me when you're wearied. And a voice that welcomes you to come for strength, because he is never faint. He is never wearied. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 through 31 tell us that the Lord doesn't faint, but he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And then he uses the illustration that as an eagle mounts up with wings, an eagle is held up by power outside itself, not by its might, but by aerodynamic strength that is held up. And so you who know the Lord's help can say that I'm held up by his strength, the one who says, come to me. And this is also the voice that welcomes, one of many voices in the scripture that invites to come for salvation. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says there that the Spirit says, come, and the bride says, come, and invites us to come and take of the water of life freely. But the key there is that is, whosoever thirsteth may come and drink of the water of life. All are invited to take it, like quenching of a need, quenching of a thirst. That sinners are not saved, not because of a refusal or an unkindness of God, but their own stubbornness, their own unbelief to refuse to come the voice that invites all and offers them rest. So not only does Jesus speak, we're also told in these verses of Jesus' hearers. Those who hear him, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All who are burdened. Those who are toiling under a weight. There are three ways that you could think of this burden. Those who are weighed down. Those who are laboring under this weight. Firstly, there would be those who are burdened, who've taken the law upon themselves, as if to save themselves by their own effort. And as you know, when you are trying to work to obtain God's favor by your own effort, when you succeed, you become proud. And when you fail, you become despairing. Failure without hope. So how is that working for you? And I don't want to ask that in a caustic way. I want to ask you, how is that working for you? to try to obtain God's favor by your self-sufficient effort. You might be able to mask your efforts with fair words or good deeds, but you do know that Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 says that if you're trying to save yourself, you need to continue in all the law, not just part of it. There's all those other things that you've not done that are still requiring you to pay the penalty for those. So for those who are burdened, who are toiling, trying to save themselves, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Number two, there could be those who are burdened by the weight of their sin. David in chapter 38 of Psalms, verse 4, speaks about how he was under a heavy burden and how his sins had gone over his head. He felt so burdened by the wrong things that he had done. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, again it uses that same idea of how sin is like a lading, like a weight that is pressing down. And Jesus says to those who are under that burden, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And then thirdly, this burden could be understood a third way, by those who are burdened by the consequences and the effects of the sins of others upon them. You may not know the name Nicola Sturgeon, and I wouldn't fault you for not knowing it. She is the former First Minister of Scotland. So as the UK has devolved its government, Scotland has its own government, and Nicola Sturgeon was the First Minister. Nicola's husband is called Peter Murrell. Peter was also part of the governing party. He was the treasurer for the Scottish government. And about 2 years ago, and now right before the courts, it has come out that Mr. Murrell was embezzling the government's funds. When he would buy his wife a piece of jewellery, he was using party's funds. And now he is being prosecuted for embezzling. But yesterday or the day before, Nicola gave an interview, and she said that she was being punished for something she did not do. Her name is tarnished, not because of something she did, but simply because she was married to the man who did these things. We are all under the curse. We're all born under this. Since Adam, you are all experiencing the consequences of sins that you did not do. The news is full of it. You may have experience of it. And Jesus says to those who are under that burden, "Come unto me." He drives none away. He doesn't send them somewhere else. Maybe you've had the experience that you've had to call one branch of government to find out something, and they say, "No, we don't deal with that here. You have to call this number." And you call that number, and they tell you, "No, we don't deal with that here." And they give you the number that you just phoned. It happens in healthcare, it happens in employment, it happens especially in payroll and finances. But you don't find that with the Lord. He doesn't send you, "Go to this other office, go to this other person, go elsewhere." No, he says, "Come to me." And he says this to all. "Come unto me, all ye who labor." He doesn't say, "Well, this is just for some." So let me ask you then this morning, what is that weight on you? What is that burden that you are laboring under? The voice of the Son of God who spoke then is still calling you to himself today. Come to me. And then the third thing that we should see from these verses is Jesus' offer. He speaks. It tells us of those who he addresses, his hearers. And then thirdly, it tells us what he offers. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His offer is rest for your souls. You see that end of verse 29. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. A state at rest is in a state of peace. Rather than in a state of anxiety or in a state of turmoil. And this is found in his invitation to fellowship with him. And then secondly, it's interesting how this is portrayed, because rest is spoken of two times. Come to me, I will give you rest, verse 28. And then in verse 29, it includes becoming his disciple. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There's a gift through fellowship, and there is the gift of this rest as something we learn in his yoke with him. So let's now look further then at this yoke. This yoke is described. You'll see it is described as easy. Verse 30. And my burden is light. Unlike the demands of religion, you have to do enough to obtain God's favor. Jesus' yoke is favor that is already obtained by faith. It's receiving the gift of God. And this yoke is not bondage. It is something that I enter into voluntarily so that I would be near him. I want to be in his yoke out of love for him. When your sweetheart asks you to do something, maybe it's something that you can't do right then. Or it's something that is difficult. Something that involves you getting up after you've gone to bed and you go and you check the back door to make sure it's locked. Or did you lock the car? I'm not speaking about anybody else's experience. But is it a burden to you, or do you do it out of love? Jesus does have work that he wants us to do. That is the yoke. But what makes it light is because I want to. I want to because of who he is. And Jesus explains this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then he gives the explanation, for I am meek and lowly in heart. His yoke is easy because of who he is. This is the kind of person the Son of God is. He is a servant of sinners. And that's what it is to be yoked with him, to be a servant, to join in his work, that other sinners would hear his call and take his yoke and find rest for their souls. And then with this yoke, he gives a promise. Ye shall find rest, or I will give you rest. What an unmatched gift this is, to find rest for your soul. Peace with God that the world cannot give, that the world cannot take away. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And in John chapter 14, verse 27, in the upper room, Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth. give I unto you. What a wonderful rest this promised gift is. Because it is, He is in the yoke with us. This isn't encouraging us that as rest would be a lazy lifestyle. There is still a work to do. And a work that is not easy to be His disciple. It's no less demanding, but it is easy because we are in the yoke with Him. The Lord Jesus is not just a voice from the past. He is risen. For now He is seated, and He will return at any moment. And He is still calling to the burdened to find rest in Himself, in His yoke. And He's calling you today, calling you to come to Him, to find this rest. So I have three questions that I'd like to conclude with. Are you wearied? Are you wearied? Is cross following hard to bear? Is what the Lord has given you to carry difficult? He has not called you to carry that without Him. He's called you to be in His yoke with Him. And the reason for this is so that it would seem when others look in on your life or they see your attitude, it is as if they see that there is someone else in the fire with you. Just like those three Hebrews, and Nebuchadnezzar looks in, weren't there three people? And there's a fourth, like the Son of God. It's God's purpose that others would see there's someone else helping them. There's someone else in this story. It's not just you and another human person. It's you and the Lord. It's through His strength. It's through that others can trace and see that the Lord has been brought right into that scene. He is in the other side of the yoke with you. Secondly, let me ask you, do you feel like your load is too heavy? Well, let me remind you that unbelief is the great noisemaker of the soul. The unrest, that attitude, I heard someone call it a DRA, a dirty, rotten attitude. That attitude comes from the weariness that comes from that and is shown in that DRA comes from unbelief. But that means also that the restorer of rest, when our burden is heavy, is to trust the Lord. Let me remind you of these familiar verses, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's easy for us to think of someone our age getting wearied and fainting. But this says that even a young person, even a young man like Tucker, can faint. Because our strength is finite, but God's strength knows no end. We sang just moments ago the song, singing I go along life's road, let me repeat to you some of the words we just sang. When to the throne of grace I flee, I find the promise true, the mighty arms upholding me will bear my burdens too. So can I encourage you, if you feel like your burden is too heavy, to get you to the throne of mercy, to get you to that throne of grace, that you might find that mercy and find help in your time of need, to trust him for his provision. And then thirdly, let me ask you this final question. Are you laboring by your self-sufficiency to obtain God's favor? Are you approaching the prospect of the end of life and what is going to happen to you with the attitude that God might be merciful to me because I'm trying my best? Dear friend, the work is done. Jesus paid it all. You're the sinner he came to save. Your sins that were against you were nailed to the cross, and God judged him. And he calls to you with the words he spoke all those years ago, come unto me and I will give you rest. He's calling you to himself, to a personal trust in him. He's enough to save you from hell and give you life. He's calling to you today. Will you heed his call? Will you come and trust him as your Savior? Would you bow your